Good morning, everyone. Carrie, I love that story. Your dad sounds like my kind of person. That's exactly how I want to be when I get old, and exactly how my wife and my kids are convinced I'm going to be when I get old. This past week, I have already inquired online about this new fascination I have, which is paramotoring. Because I've seen the large sails, the backpack with the fan, you see them going up and down Lake Michigan. There's a class coming up end of August. I'm trying to convince Lisa that this is the right time for this. She does not agree with me, but that has always been my approach to life, is to seize it, carpe the heck out of that diem, and just embrace every single moment. I love that. You know, it has been a beautiful day. Thank you for that lovely, great song to start off, because that embodies the energy, the feeling that I have this morning. I mean, it's been one of those incredible, incredible weeks where just like life has been unfolding in some of the most beautiful ways. And there are moments like that where you can just celebrate that. This past week, we've had my in-laws in town, and we got to take them, and then we also got to experience the musical fountain for the very first time. So I believe that now makes us officially Grand Haven-ish residents, right? So we can check that off of our list there. It was lovely, by the way. We sat on the beach for the 4th of July. With some good friends, and saw all the people up and down the beach who probably spent thousands of dollars on their fireworks that we got to watch for free. And it was amazing. It was lovely. The sunset was incredible. I have been out kayaking up a storm this past week. I think I logged just under like 20 miles. Been on the Kalamazoo River a couple times. Managed to get a great trip in with Lisa, which, as you know, sometimes her health is up or down with long-haul COVID, and so we had a perfect morning and a perfect day where the weather was calm, and I said, let's, you know, do you feel like if you wanted to, we could go out? I'd just gotten a great new kayak for $100. It's a crazy story, and we just had a magical day on the river. It was just perfect weather. It was not too much exertion for her, so she got to enjoy that. That was something that her and I both shared a passion in, that we both had picked up during COVID, and we realized it had been almost like 4 or 5 years now that we've been kayaking. And then we had a great hike last week. Anybody that participated in that hike there through just these beautiful trails that we have in the west side of Michigan, we're so incredibly fortunate. I've said that myself, Lisa and I have said that to each other so many times this week. We are so gosh darn lucky. We are so incredibly privileged just to be able to draw breath, let alone to do so in the beautiful west side of Michigan, let alone to be able to do so while having eyes to see and sunsets, and to have ears to be able to hear the ocean waves coming in, to be able to walk, to be able to spend time contemplating a little beetle on the beach, which I did. I promise you, I did. I was laying down on my blanket there, and there was a little tiny beetle that was just crawling across this impossibly huge dune to it, and it was so small, and I was just watching it, and I was asking it what kind of beetle it was, and it answered me by flying away, and I said, oh, you're a flying beetle. It was beautiful. It was lovely. I said this during pre-talk. I hugged a tree today, this past week, a couple days ago, for a couple minutes. If you don't hug a tree at least once a week, you're missing out. Find a tree that you cannot reach your arms around, and then just spend some time hugging it and contemplate existence from the perspective of that tree. We have one in the backyard, the place where we're staying, and I did that. And I was just hugging that tree and spending some time thinking about what life is like when you can zoom out to that kind of perspective. And that's where we're at in this unfolding topic that we're exploring. This morning's talk is called It Is What It Is. We discovered during pre-talk, and I kind of knew this, that when I picked a title like that, that the response was going to be mixed. Most of you probably have a relatively kind of like ambivalent or negative response to that phrase. It feels kind of flippant, some said. It can kind of be something you say is sort of like a, it is what it is, when bad things happen, or it's never something good to say to somebody else when they're going through a bad time, obviously. That should be on the table. But for me, this particular phrase has become a mantra, a refrain of sorts that has really held some deep meaning, because it has allowed me to contemplate life as it is, not life as I wish it was. Because frequently we find ourselves in moments where we are trying to conform life to this desire that we have for it to be a certain way. And that's totally understandable because it's a very human predicament, a very human thing to do. But, spoiler alert, life is what it is. This moment that we are in is all that there is. This eternal now. It's been a beautiful week, but you know, it's also been a bit of a challenging week too. You know, life is like that. You go through these incredible highs, and then sometimes, even in the very same moments, you have these lows, you have these challenges. I got woken up at 1:30 in the morning on Friday by one of those calls you don't want to get. I saw my daughter calling me and found out she had almost grounded a plane by passing out in front of the bathroom, and she was out long enough that the pilot was back there. They were trying to figure out what was going on. It was a little bit crazy. She's a type 1 diabetic, and so it wasn't that, but you know, those kind of things put life into perspective for you, right? She called us coming down from the plane, called me, thankfully, because as a dad, I can kind of absorb this information. Lisa there would have been up for the entire night, so we saved that bit of news for the morning after she'd had her coffee. But it's also crazy how life has those kind of moments, too. And life is not always a bed of rose petals in the Ruggles household, too. We've been doing some moving lately, and Lisa made me wear two different pair of socks, like unmatching socks. Now, I don't think you can appreciate how difficult that is for somebody like me. I'm not OCD in a lot of things there, but I have a very deep appreciation for socks. One time, I should probably do a meditation just around socks, because I can spend a good 10 minutes talking about socks. A new pair of socks, putting on a new, fresh pair of socks there is a transcendent experience. You should care for your socks. You should find the right socks that you need for the right occasion. I could keep going, but I won't. But we did not have all the socks together, apparently, and so Lisa had done laundry, thankfully, and we were so, I was so appreciative to her, but I pulled out this pair of socks, and I said, honey, what's going on here? She said, I couldn't find the other matching set for that one, and so that day, that was literally all I had, and it just felt wrong. I felt like I was kind of walking off kilter, wearing two different socks. So yeah, life has this weird, you know, unfolding aspect, highs and lows, joys and sorrows. It's almost like we said last week that this refrain from Rumi that has keeps coming up there, this being human is a guest house. You have all these experiences coming at you. What we get to control is how we welcome them or whether we resist them. Last week, we talked about how we were invited to surrender to life's flow and how an unfolding life, this unfolding life that we're talking about, is an open life, a spacious life, a highly self-aware life. We cooperate with life's unfolding by allowing our life to unfold within it. And this value that we are reminding ourselves of during this this topic is the value that we hold for well-being here at C3, where we promote wholeness and wellness of mind, body, and spirit, recognizing our self-responsibility, our interrelatedness, and our interdependence. And I'd like us to think about that not just from a human perspective, from an anthropocentric perspective, but to think about our interconnection with all things and with life itself, because we are. To borrow like Alan Watts' idea, we are a product of the universe. The universe, you could say, and the earth peoples. We are an unfolding of the universe. We are an expression of something magical that we are participating in for this brief, brief second. And how we get to approach that. So Michael Singer, this book that I've read that kind of launched me on this journey five, six, 7 years ago, somewhere around there, really helped me reframe this idea. He talked about, he asked this question, what would happen to me if I inwardly surrendered my resistance to life as it was instead of life as it is, or life as I wanted it to be? And what if I just let the flow of life be in charge? And what if I started saying yes with curiosity and openness to whatever presented itself in life? And he said, surrender taught me to willingly participate in life's dance with a quiet mind and an open heart. So there is this way of being in the world. There is this way of existing in the world. Because, yeah, life is beautiful, but it's also tough. We were talking a little bit in pre-talk about the news and how much happier we are when we don't watch it or listen to it, right? There can be a very real tendency to stick our head deep, deep in the sand and just plug our ears and not pay attention to all the tragedy that's happening around us. I may or may not have texted a friend or two on the 4th of July, happy 4th of July with like the fire emoji and the little dumpster fire burning, you know, like it feels that way at times. The outside world is problematic, and often our inner world is troubled too. Frequently, we try to use the outside world to alleviate what we feel, this discontent that we feel inside. But what if I told you that the outer world that you are experiencing, whatever it is merely a reflection of your interior world? Because there are those people who manage to go through the same situations, instead of emerging broken and beaten and bitter, somehow emerge laughing, somehow keep bouncing from situation to situation with a resilience that makes you wonder if they're part Teflon. How do they keep seemingly emerging from these tragedies with such joy? And we discover that it's not the exterior world that is the problem, but it is how we bring our interior world into this life that we experience. What if the outer world that you're experiencing is merely a reflection of the inner world you're avoiding? It's a big question to think about. The passage that's in your bulletin this morning from the Surrender Experiment says, life rarely unfolds exactly as we want it to. And if we stop and think about it, that makes perfect sense. The scope of life is universal. And the fact that we are not actually in control of life's events should be self-evident. The universe has been around for, about 13.8 billion years. And the processes that determine the flow of life around us did not begin when we were born, even though that's our conscious awareness of connecting to all of it. It happened way before we were around. It's going to keep going on long after we're gone. What manifests in front of us at any given moment is actually something truly extraordinary. It is the end result of all the forces that have been interacting together for billions of years. Sometimes we just need a shift in our perspective. Let's take a photon of light, for example. That sunshine that we so desperately want to see that can make or break a day depending on whether we see it or whether there are clouds in the sky. Our photon that we are observing when we look outside and when we can stand and feel that light on our skin, that energy from the sun, it was produced in the core of the sun where the temperatures and the density of the energy there reached temperatures of 27 million degrees Fahrenheit. And that photon is like a little ping pong ball with so much energy. The problem is there's a lot of them, and it begins bouncing around, but they are so crowded in there, it encounters an obstacle, which is other densely packed protons. And every time it hits another proton, it redirects itself, and it redirects its energy. And sometimes these photons can't travel more than a few millimeters without hitting each other as they begin this endless ping pong bouncing around, this ping pong or this pinball table effect of energy captured in the heart of the star. And each time it does, it loses a little bit of energy and it's scattered in a random direction. And as a result, its forward progress is slowed to a crawl, and that photon can take anywhere from a few thousand to even a few million years to escape the core of the sun. And are we arrogant enough to think that that same photon of energy that once it escapes, traveling at 186,000 miles a second, taking approximately 8 minutes to hit our planet, are we arrogant enough to think that whether or not we can see and feel the energy of the sun and the warmth of the sun, and whether it's too hot or too cold, does that all really even matter? Can we even appreciate the fact of what it took for that one photon of energy to even arrive on this planet, that we are conscious of it, aware of it, and get to participate in this unfolding of life? Is it really so hard to just let it rain when it rains and let it be sunny when it's sunny without complaining about it? Our mind struggles to do it. Why did it have to rain today? It always rains when I don't want it to. It had to rain all week. This just isn't fair. But you see, there is no good or bad without us. There's only perception. To the farmer, that rainstorm was exactly what he'd been hoping for. To you, it ruined a picnic. One person's happy, another person's sad. This is life. This is the unfolding of life. There is the event itself, and then there is the story that we tell ourselves about it and what it means. I love Brené Brown's idea of the story that I'm telling myself. I like to think about things in that way because really life is all about story and perspective. Have you ever watched any of those TV shows reframed like as they'll take an episode of Friends and they'll recut it and put like an ominous music behind it and it looks like a horror flick, right? Or they'll take some really terrible horror thing and then put like a really campy music track behind it, and it looks like a comedy, and it's like Silence of the Lambs or something. Like, it's perspective. You add a little bit of a music track and cut it a certain way, and you look at it, and it takes on a different facet. There's the event itself, and there's a story that we tell ourselves about what it means. And you see, as human beings, as Homo sapiens, we separate ourselves on the evolutionary tree because we had this incredibly useful trait of being able to recognize and categorize things at an astounding rate. We learned to recognize not just the right foods and fruits, but we began to recognize where they grew, and we began to recognize certain traits about them and animals and cultivation, and we grew at an alarming rate. And along the way, that categorization in our brain, that part of us that evolved to be able to separate things, never went away. And we find oftentimes, from the Buddhist perspective, that monkey mind, we find our minds constantly running, wanting to assess and label everything that happens. If you really stop and pay attention to what your mind is talking about, that inner voice is kind of an asshole. Your inner voice is constantly barraging you with all these thoughts. This shouldn't be this way. I wish it were different. I wish I had cake. I wish I had more cake. I wish somebody else hadn't eaten that piece of cake. I wish I hadn't eaten that piece of cake. I wish I could go to, like, we are constantly assessing everything, trying to determine if it's good or bad. Do we want it this way? Do we not want it this way? And we're always trying to conform life into this image of what we think perfection is, and we know there is no such thing. Well, there is, but perfection is now. It's here. It is this moment as it is. That's all there ever is. What was it? I know it was Morpheus, I think, in the end of The Matrix, or in one of the Matrix movies, and I think he borrowed this from somebody else that said, it was Peter Crone who said, what happened, happened, and it couldn't have happened in any other way, right? And Morpheus said that at one point in The Matrix. It's really cool, you know, in the glasses, he sounded so much cooler when he said it. What happened, happened, and it couldn't happen any other way. That's simply just another way of saying that title of today's talk. This, it is what it is. Now, it's not a passive acceptance. It's not a lay down on the ground as a floor mat for others to walk on you. It's not a just throwing up your hands in passive surrender and saying there's nothing I can do. It just is what it is. But it's a curious opening to the unfolding of life. Viktor Frankl in Man's Search for Meaning says, everything can be taken from us as a human being. Everything can be taken, but one thing, the last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way. We make the path by walking it. We choose the story. We set the soundtrack to what's happening. Think about that. You know those videos we talked about earlier? What does the situation that you're in that is so tragic look like if you're playing a little piano ditty in your head that's campy and kind of a comedy slapstick soundtrack in your head? Do you sometimes find yourself smiling at just the sheer absurdity of what you're going through? There is a cathartic release in just simply laughing in the face of the storm and saying, wow, I cannot believe that we're at this new low. I didn't think it could get any lower. I was wrong. But it is life as it is. And we should forget that that same acceptance that we have in the low moments too should also carry us through with such awe and wonder, like it did this past week for me. As I sat on the beach so many times, as I watched sunsets, as I was paddling through the water, and so many times I just thought to myself, I can't freaking believe that I'm doing this right now. I can't believe the beauty around me. I can't believe that I get to participate in this moment in time and space, in history, that I could pull out my phone, find kayaking drop locations, that I can navigate, I can communicate with my wife, I can FaceTime with my daughter on the kayak. I mean, like, it's what a bizarre time to be alive. What an absurd time to be alive. How absurd is it that we even exist at all? But it is what it is. We are here. What happened, happened, and it couldn't have happened in any other way because it didn't. Peter Crone said, you can allow everything and everybody to be exactly the way that they are and still be completely at peace. And I'd assert that that's really the only form of true peace that there is to allow life to be the way that it is. Thank you for sharing this time and this beautiful planet with me. Namaste.